This is Murray Yates, welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Yes, good afternoon. Our first song today is called How Great Thou Art.
Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou. Sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Today, we are raising the question of what is the kingdom of God and how do you enter the kingdom of God? Well, a religious leader called Nicodemus, a Pharisee, asked the question of Jesus in secret one night. Jesus gives the answer in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 21. I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants to, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked Jesus. And Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." Let me explain. Moses, 2,000 or 3,000 years before, was in the desert with his people, many thousands of them. But there came a plague amongst them, and many of them needed healing. God told Moses that if he was to put a snake upon a large rod, all the people had to do was to look to the snake and believe, and they would be healed. And here Jesus is saying that he was going to be lifted up, just like that snake was. But if anyone looked to him, they could become saved, or they could become born again and born in with a spiritual life, and so come into the kingdom of heaven. And so this is why Jesus was able to say, "Man has come, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." And men and women are looking for eternal life today. Perhaps you are one of them. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe, if a person has not put their trust in Jesus Christ, he has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So to be born again, we repent of our sin or self-centered way of living and ask Jesus Christ into our heart. And by the Spirit, we are born again spiritually, and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and makes us a new person. I found that for myself many years ago, and I found that I became a new person overnight, and there was a real difference in my life. My parents were amazed too, but I had heard the message of the gospel the night before and had accepted Jesus Christ. However, let us go on so that in verses 17 to 21 it reads, it means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, we read, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God,' for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ." And the disciples experienced this new birth, or being born again, in the upper room after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is recorded in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. "Because Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And you too today can are born again by the Holy Spirit. Yes, not just the first birth, but the second one as well, the one that gives spiritual life. Another thing that we want to look at today, people are wondering, well, what kind of person really is Jesus? Is he willing to help me? After all, was he willing to help other people? Well, we're going to look at a story today from Mark chapter 5, and it starts from verse 21. And it talks about a dead girl and a very sick woman. Now, Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of a lake. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." There were many people there, and you can imagine what it was like. She tried to press in behind him, and she just couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, she made a little thrust forward, touched his garment, and yes, she knew that something had happened within her, that somehow the bleeding had stopped, and she was healed. But immediately her bleeding stopped, the Bible says, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples said. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kohim," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. You see, Jesus is concerned with men and women. And even though this happened a long time ago, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And as we can see, this man, the man who approached Jesus, he was a ruler amongst the Jews there. And he knew that he had a deep need because his daughter was dying. And so he came to Jesus having seen the power that he had. And when he came, he was putting his trust. He believed that Jesus could make a difference in his life and in the life, in this case, of the young daughter. And we know we have just heard the result. The people there didn't believe, of course. They had come round as it would have been the normal thing in that time, when the family had heard that a member of their family had died. The people and the villagers would come round and they would cry and they would wail. But with Jesus there, there was no need for that, because he had his trust in the living God. And he just said, he said, "The child is not dead, but asleep." And what happened, of course, we know that he took her by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, arise." And immediately the girl stood up. And, you know, I can think of another time when this happened too. A person called Smith Wigglesworth, he came to New Zealand and thousands came to hear him. They had a revival in New Zealand. Many people were healed at the time. And people on their way, going on their way, stopped and came to hear Smith Wigglesworth. They didn't know why, but they came, but God was in this whole thing. You see, Smith Wigglesworth came from Wales, and this is what happened to him. He was in the Salvation Army. He was only a plumber. He only gave out the hymn books. His wife did the preaching, but he had a wonderful gift, the gift of healing. And one day he was out working, and his wife died. A friend who was there at the time took hold of the dead woman and placed her on the bed. And when Smith Wigglesworth, after a hard day's work, came home, and the friend said to him at the door, "Your wife has died." And remember, and immediately Smith Wigglesworth said, "No, she hasn't." And he went into the room, picked her up, and stood her against the wall and called her by name. And she came alive again. You see, when God works, God is a God of life. God is a God of love, and God loves you. You may have a problem. It may not be a problem that involves death, but no matter what it is, you know, Jesus can come to you. He will help you. But go to him yourself. Take time out and go to him, and he can make a difference in the circumstances that you happen to be in at the time, no matter what they are. Perhaps you have never ever invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, and so you have never come into his kingdom. And remember that we are talking about the spiritual side of the kingdom of God. Not just being born into this world, but being born again into his kingdom. And so you too can start experiencing some of the things that Jesus does for men and women. Yes, God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him or puts their trust in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And my last question for you today is simply, have you ever put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you ever received this wonderful gift of eternal life? Because if you never have, this could be your chance today. We're going to pray in a few moments. And if indeed you wish to put your trust in Jesus Christ, believing that because he died upon the cross for you, because when he was dying there, he was taking your punishment, the punishment for the wrong things that you have done. But he just didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose again, and many people saw him. You see, Jesus is more interested in life than what he is in death. But Jesus came for a reason, because you needed a sacrifice, and God needed a sacrifice too. A sacrifice that would take care of your sins so that you could go free. So today, wherever you are, you too can come and know him. Let us just pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you came into this world. I believe that when you came, you died for me. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please forgive me for all the wrong things that I have done. Please forgive me for my lack of faith in you. But now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life, to forgive me for my sin, and to give me eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in to my heart and into my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in and taking control of my life. And thank you, Lord, for giving me that with this wonderful gift of eternal life, life which goes on forever. If you prayed that prayer today and invited Jesus Christ in, you have become born again into the kingdom of God. If, by all means, go to a local church and begin to learn more about Jesus Christ, and you too will start growing in the things of God. May the Lord bless you. This is Murray Yates signing off for this month.
That's it.